This is Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo on TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
Welcome on into Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca, and on the iHeartRadio app. Andy Petrillo alongside Dave Poulin and Mark Rowe. We're trying to make sense of a lot of things, and it's kind of going okay, but I wouldn't say well.
If you just stopped it right there,
that really opens up a lot of things.
Doesn't have to be hockey. Doesn't have to be about the Leafs.
Well, yes. I mean,
life in general.
Life in general is often confusing. But the expansion draft is really throwing a wrinkle into things, and we're trying to wonder why when these rumors come out that this team is interested in this player or this swap could happen. Why would that happen? How does that make sense?
The word rumors was a key part of your sentence there, Andy, and I played with a player that used to say rumors pay the rent. That's it. Don't believe it. But there is a lot of discussion going on in every which direction right now. It'll be more interesting to me when the actual, everybody's got hypothetical lists out there, but when the actual lists come out and you see who the fourth and fifth defensemen essentially are on a team, and you might prompt Vegas to take one of those players to trade for that player. So once the lists, I think the conversation goes to a whole different level. Once you see the actual lists, see who's absolutely available, not potentially available to Vegas, and see how that player might fit into your plans if you're a team.
So you were pretty heated this morning because the Dion Phaneuf story is still a pretty big one. Because, and we brought this up a couple days ago, you're in a no-win situation. I feel you're in a no-win situation if you're a player. Because you have the no move, but when your team asks you to waive it, and it's your every right to say no, it inevitably just looks bad on you for saying no. The fan base might turn on you. People might say you don't care. Why wouldn't you waive it? It makes the team better, or it will potentially help to make the team better. And it just becomes a mess when a player negotiated in good faith. And you could say, sure, he signed that deal with Toronto, and he negotiated that with Dave Nonis. But guess what? The Ottawa Senators traded for that contract. They knew what they were getting. Wouldn't exactly say the Leafs got great stuff back.
Oh, part of it was taking the contract, but let's take it piece by piece.
But what I'm trying to say is all that argument of you don't care about the team because you're not waiving your no movement clause because you're not helping us get better, you want to crumple that up like a piece of paper and burn it.
Okay, so it's absolutely the opposite. Let's take it piece by piece. Number one, no one thought there was going to be an expansion draft that would factor into these no-move contracts that are currently in place. No one thought that. So that's number one. Number two, what you're really saying, if you're Dion Phaneuf, is I really like the Ottawa Senators. I want to be a part of the Ottawa Senators. I'm in a good place, playing for a coach, in a good system, with great teammates. Because of all those things, I'm going to potentially open up the door to leave? It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all.
Especially given the season they just had. Right.
Well, the interesting comment about why wouldn't he be attractive to a team who's closer to winning the Stanley Cup? Ottawa was just a Final Four team that took the Stanley Cup champions to double overtime in Game 7. So he's in a place, apparently, where he was still playing hockey in June.
And he was a factor.
And he was an enormous factor. And so it is very contradictory. You and I spoke off air, and I said, so, you know, a superstar taking less money to stay in one place. Okay, you understand that concept. Unless you bring somebody in at more money. So now you're saying to the superstar, thanks for taking less. We're actually going to go outside, get someone we don't really know, who we don't really know fits, because you fit every single parameter of being here and being a superstar. We'd like to pay you less.
Yeah, you take a discount.
It's one thing to say we're going to pay you less, but you're still going to be the highest paid player in the team. It's another thing to say we're going to go out and get somebody and pay them more than you that we're not even sure about. And that's what this is, exactly the situation with Dion. He wants to be there. So if you're not being a team guy and keeping the team together, you're the one that could be leaving.
There's a lot of factors that come into play here, and it's true. right on the surface, you can't judge that. Because when you start to strip it away, what he is really saying is, I do love it here. I do believe the Ottawa Senators are a cup contender. And this is where I want to continue where I've been for the last couple years. Now, Dion Phaneuf did speak on this because we know he's been mum. He has to give his final word on Friday. That's the deadline of when players who have been asked to waive their no movement have to let the teams know. But he was at a charity event, and media caught up with Dion Phaneuf, and this is just a little clip of what he had to say.
To be honest with you, it's part of the business, and we've had some discussions, and that's obviously been public knowledge, but it's part of the business, and that's part of being in this business. Those are conversations that will keep the details between Ottawa and you know, my agents and myself, but it's just part of the business.
So he's just trying to keep it as strictly business as possible.
And spoken like a professional, but it's comical that you would look at a situation like that and say it's not within his right. It is within his right. But you would also say, well, he's breaking up the Ottawa Senators. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Well,
none.
And look at what Dion Phaneuf has gone through, too. Like, you know, he was in Toronto. He was made captain. He was put in a spot where, you know, and obviously he takes responsibility, but he was miscast as being the number one guy. And finally, he's in a situation in Ottawa where he's part of a good blue line. He's not the leader of that blue line. Doesn't need to be. You know, that whole playoff run, all we were doing was giving him credit for how well he's been playing. So finally, he's in a situation where he can thrive and play his game, and now you want him to move.
And when you've been in a challenging situation, you're much more appreciative of a good one.
Right.
You're absolutely in more appreciation of it. And it shouldn't pit player against player. That's not what this, you know, this process is. And you want to keep the guys together because they're a great group of guys in the locker room, but essentially what you're telling the player, in this case Dion Phaneuf, is we've got a great group of guys. You have to understand we want to keep you all together, except you would be the one exposed as the one leaving if this were the case. And who knows how that could be, because once again, back to the list. Once the list are set, it might not be Vegas that wants Dion. It might be another team that covers Dion.
And that's what I was going to put my horns on and play devil's advocate, because there might be some people out there saying, just waive, be exposed, because there's no way Vegas is going to take your contract at, you know, $7 million, then it's 6.5 for, you know, the remaining three after that. There's the argument of just waive it, because you know you're not going to get picked up, which you never know. But there is that argument.
So there's someone outside of his 12-team list who wants him, who he doesn't have an interest in playing for organizationally. He's now open to that if he waives to go to Vegas, where they could trade him to one of those teams. And these lists are comical because we never gave an outright no move, no trade clause. We always had a number of lists. That was Berkey's philosophy, is that you always had to have some flexibility and some option. But you looked at lists, and they might be 10 teams, they might be 12 teams, whatever they might be. You looked at these lists, and you tried to get some picture of what the player wanted with the teams on his list. And you would look at a list and you'd say, okay, this player clearly wants to win a Stanley Cup. He's put the top teams in the top markets. Okay, this player clearly wants to stay in the East for whatever reasons that may be. Okay, this player clearly wants to stay in Canada because all six Canadian teams are, whatever that may be. And you looked at these lists. But you'd also look at a list and say, well, there's 9 warm weather teams in this list.
That so clearly, my list.
Clearly, this player wants to drive a convertible wherever he goes, because it doesn't matter
like
whether
the perimeter,
it's east or coast, and they like the ocean, and there are those lists too, and so you gain a lot by looking at, you know, a player's list and where he might want to go. But it is kind of funny. You may have had a case in the past where you looked at the list and you're trying to decipher it, and you're not thinking geography, and then you see it wrap around the lower warm states of the United States and think,
it's the flip-flop list.
Yeah,
that's
the flip-flop list, or the convertible car list, or whatever that may be.
The Andy list?
That might be the Andy list right away.
Untanned.
Where would you like to report from? Let me think.
Where would you like to do Leafs lunch from? Florida.
Hands down. Yeah, I mean, it's the Dion saga is just, it's just interesting, because you then compare it, because in the same week, here we are praising Marc-Andre Fleury and finding out that he waived his before the trade deadline.
Okay,
and suddenly
totally
it's like,
different case.
Look
he
at
wants
this.
To play, Andy.
And that's what I was about to say. I don't think people are looking at the fact
totally
that he's
different.
Not playing.
Totally different.
Yeah.
He wants to play. He knows that Matt Murray is the heir apparent to him. Mm-hmm. And that's already happened. That's clearly happened. The change has been made. He's 32 years old. He wants to play. That's why he's willing to waive it. And by the way, he still controls where he goes to a point, mm-hmm. but he's willing to waive that clause. That's why he gave Pittsburgh flexibility to do it. If you gave the exact same circumstances to Marc-Andre Fleury and said, would you rather stay in Pittsburgh and play as Dion would stay in Ottawa and play? He's not going to waive. He wants to play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he knows he's not going to get that ice.
He knows he's not going to play.
And he understands the business, too.
Like if you're asking Dion, okay, you can stay in Ottawa right now, but you're going to be the seventh or eighth defenseman.
He'd waive it in a heartbeat.
In a second.
I'm out of
here.
So
there's your like situation.
Yeah. No. Right. See, when you break it down, it starts to make sense.
Right. And a lot, this audience will think back to that Matt Sundin situation, but a totally different scenario where the Leafs clearly weren't in a competitive state, and you know, Matt's was in his last few years, and he deserved that. He deserved that right. But you know, this Sens team, as Dave pointed out, it's not as if they're bottoming out this year. Mm-hmm. Like they got so close, and even when you're watching the Penguins early on in that Stanley Cup final, they must be thinking, oh, if we could only have won that Game 7. You know, because Pittsburgh was, you know, clearly banged up and Nashville couldn't get any offense going. Like they're close.
Mm-hmm. And how much of a wrinkle does the Erik Karlsson surgery throw into this? So it comes out yesterday that he did, in fact, have surgery on the left foot that was bothering him all playoffs. We knew that near the end of the regular season it was bugging him. We knew he was dealing with it during the playoffs, keeping him out for 4 months. So what does that take him to? What are we now? June, July, August? I don't know. What are we looking at? So we're looking at like...
Is that counting or is that mumbling? Mumbles over there.
Look, I don't...
Math major.
I'm Andy one of those Petrillo. People that if I were to play blackjack, it takes me a while because
one,
I count
two,
with my...
three, seven.
Look, I count with my fingers, okay? But anyways, it takes... Basically, it doesn't... We don't know because after he ruptured his Achilles there, had his Achilles sliced in half by Matt Cook. He was supposed to take however long and ended up taking 2.5 months. So he could be ready for the start of the season. But if we go by what we're being told now, he will not be ready for the start of the season. So how much of a factor then does Dion Phaneuf play in that?
Here's your glass half full guy. The bad news for opponents of the Ottawa Senators, Erik Karlsson's going to be really, really well rested for the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's my look at it. But, you know, Dion is a big part of that team. Mm-hmm. With or without Karlsson, he's a big part of that team, and he wants to be a big part. No. So you've got a guy who wants to be there. Don't criticize him for wanting to be there.
Yeah. Now, will Mark Mathot and or Cody Ceci be a big part of that blue line next year?
Cody Ceci will be protected. The age difference is too significant. His growth as a player is too significant. They'll roll the dice or try and protect Mark Mathot if he can, but they've got some young kids coming as well. On the left side, Shabbat, Klyson. Mm-hmm. And they've got some young kids coming.
Well, speaking of defensemen, we have a Norris Trophy winning one who's going to be joining us in studio. May have a couple gold medals from the Olympics. May have a couple Stanley Cups under his belt. That would be LA Kings defenseman Drew Doughty, who's going to be joining us in studio here, making the rounds. He's part of something special today. Today, by the way, National Smile Power Day. He'll be in to tell us more about that as you continue to listen to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050 and stream online, tsn.ca. June, July, August, I don't know. What are we looking at? Welcome back into Leafs Lunch, TSN 1050, streaming online and on the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Leafs Lunch 1050. Andy Petrillo alongside Dave Poulin, Mark Rose already digging into some junk food here. Why? Because we have LA defenseman Drew Doughty.
Got some Lay's potato chips here.
Join us, yes, bringing in some Lay's potato chips. That's because today is National Smile Power Day. And to support Lay's smiles, we got Drew Doughty in studio. He's teamed up with Lay's Canada to show Canadians how life's better with a smile. Do you have your teeth in?
No.
That's the Drew Doughty smile that we know and love. So there you go. So Drew, you're joining us here right now to talk about this very special day. What is it all about?
Very happy to be a part of this. Like you said, National Smile Power Day, and it's just about putting smiles on people's faces. You know, there are things that we go through obviously in everyday life that make us angry, but if you you know, think about it after, just put a smile on your face or help put a smile on someone else's face, it makes everything better. So that's what we're promoting, and you know, it's something I always live by. Yeah, I have this intense and competitive side to me, but I always have the fun side to me, which you know, makes me successful, I think.
I will say this, because they say here that Drew Doughty is known for his serious face and competitive edge. I will agree, your competitive edge you're known for, but when I watch you play, you always have like a snarky smile out
on
the ice.
Yeah. No, I'm like competitive.
You've heard that before.
Oh, for sure.
Says the queen of the snarky smile.
Yeah, true.
Trust me.
No, I definitely have that competitive edge to me, and I have those couple screws loose that I'm going to snap sometimes, but... yeah, I have fun playing the game of hockey, and that's just the bottom line. Yeah, you're going to see me, you know, dancing to a song on the ice or, you know, just laughing with one of my teammates. I just have fun playing the game, and when I play angry, I usually don't play well.
How important is it then to bring a smile? Because this is what hockey players, I mean, athletes, but in particular, we focus on hockey players, what they're known for, getting involved in the community. We know every year teams have the hospital visits to sick kids. How important is it to also put a smile on a kid's face? And then when you're walking through the VOM and they all want a high five or give you the fist pump, how important is that?
Yeah, that's so important. That's something that, you know, obviously my goal as a little kid was to hopefully become an NHL player one day, and you know, I looked up to people when I was a kid, and they were doing these things, giving back to kids, putting smiles on kids' faces, and I always promised that I was going to do the same thing. So I got that opportunity to help other people and help kids, and I enjoy it. I love hanging out with kids. Not that I don't love hanging out with adults too, but when I put a smile on kids' faces, it makes me feel a little more special than it would otherwise.
Speaking of smiling, big topic right now in the NHL, there's a new team in Vegas. I don't know if you've heard this yet.
No, not yet.
Okay, so there's a team in Vegas, breaking news to you. You're going to play them a lot. Have you wrapped your head around what your routine will be like going into Vegas and getting set for a very important hockey game? And there's a few things around that arena.
Yeah, I don't know if our team will allow us to fly in the night before the game or if they're going to make us just go in for the day of the game, because it's only like a 45-minute flight, so...
Veteran move by the coach, if that's the case.
Right? But no, everyone thinks like that the Vegas is going to have an advantage because the other teams are going to be out the night before or whatever, you know, because it's Vegas and too much temptation. But I think it's going to be the opposite, that these road teams are going to just surprise the home team and come out flying and win games.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, when I played at the start of my career, there was only one warm weather city, and that was L.A.
Yeah.
And you'd go out there for 6 days at a time. And you played great against LA because you knew that if you didn't get to go out for 6 days at a time. So
I was going to say
that was why LA
lines,
had such a terrible
I
home
didn't want
record.
LA to get catch of it. So.
You look back at LA's terrible home record in the 80s, and it was because
playing guilty, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and you know what? And I tell people, you know, dismiss that because you can get in trouble at any city if you choose to. The reason that you're a professional and you're as good as you are, and by the way, you play all the games and it's because you look after yourself and make good decisions. I mean, you can make a bad decision anywhere in the world.
If you put your mind to it,
decisions anywhere. Yeah, exactly.
So here we are. This is Leafs Lunch. And I was mentioning two-time Stanley Cup champ, but also two-time Olympic gold champion at the Olympics, and Mike Babcock being the head coach, and he's the head coach here in Leafs Land. What do you have to say about playing under him and what kind of leader he is?
Yeah, he was great. Obviously, when you only have a coach for, you know, 2-3 weeks, you don't really know what he's like. But for me, he's a very detailed coach. He expects the most out of his players. And if you're not doing the right thing, he's going to be honest with you. You know, you need to fix that. He's not going to make something up and expect more of your competitiveness or something like that. He wants you to compete and, you know, play your game, but at the same time, you have to follow the system, and he's very detailed, and if you're not going to follow what he's saying, you know, you're probably not going to play, and that's, you know, what a coach needs to do. Mm-hmm. I think honesty with a coach, and you need a coach that you can approach, and he's definitely very approachable. Like, I know with me, I joked around with him a lot, and yeah, maybe that's because I'm not on his team all the time and pissing him off all the time, but... yeah, he was a great coach, a very smart hockey mind, and no, I think he's great for the Leafs, and you know, I'm happy that the Leafs are doing what they're doing.
Well,
right now.
And it's interesting because as a Southern Ontario guy, for the majority of your career, the Leafs have been, let's put it bluntly, awful,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So now things have changed, and you're gonna. I know your priority right now is to sign a new deal with the Kings, but for players out there that might have the opportunity to have, you know, their choice on which team they want to join, how has the perception now of the Leafs and playing in this city changed over the last year or 2 years?
Yeah, like I think all of us Southern Ontario players, we secretly want to play for the Leafs. You know, we all have that kind of softball. I hated the Leafs when I was a kid, I absolutely hated them and always cheered against them. I was on my dad's team. He was a Montreal Canadiens fan, but I watched every Leaf game, and so secretly I love the Leafs, you know. So I think that, yeah, we'd all want to play here, but especially with the team, the way that they're getting better and stuff like that. But I think it just always comes down to, you know, how hard it would be to live in a city being that big of a celebrity. You know, mm-hmm. I'm spoiled in LA where I walk anywhere I want and not one person's going to recognize me. So I might not, if say I did for some reason play for the Leafs, I don't know if I could get used to that or not. I think that's the problem why guys don't sign here.
Yeah, it's a very, very different world now. Looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, you may know better what the big guns on Pittsburgh went through your stretch. You played 60 plus playoff games over 3 years, won two cups, had an Olympic smashed in there. Mm-hmm. And how impressed with you were you with you? You live that and know the fatigue factor and know the mental and physical exhaustion of how many games those key guys played over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I have the most respect for those guys. You know, Sid playing, you know, going to the Cup, World Cup, going back to the Cup, like that is just ridiculous. I was telling a story earlier that when we won the Cup, then we went to the conference finals, then the next year we won the Cup again. That second time we won the Cup, like all the boys are spraying champagne in the locker room and throwing beers around, and legit I couldn't even drink my beer. That's how tired I was. I was seriously just done. And that in particular year we went to game 7, I think the first three series before the final. So mm-hmm. we were just buckled, like all of us. We were just done. So I can't imagine what they were feeling.
Yeah, what the workload was. And you've had sort of a strange flow in that you didn't make the playoffs your first year,
yeah.
your seventh year, and your ninth year. Usually you're...
It's not going the right way, yeah.
Well, but I look at your bounce back, too. And yeah. usually, you know, you play for a team that's not very good, and then you get good.
Yeah.
But you don't have those intermittent years mixed in where,
mm-hmm.
you know, so... And a different coach coming in, so the mindset will change a little bit, although yeah. Johnny's been there.
Definitely, you know, Johnny's another smart hockey mind, good coach, and you know our defensive philosophy obviously is what's kind of taken us to high levels, but at the same time now it's kind of made us not as good. We're not scoring enough goals. That's the bottom line. So we want to keep that defensive philosophy intact, but we need to create more offense, and we know that we're not going to, you know, cheat to create offense. We're going to learn how to create more offense, watch other teams how they created it, and we're going to come up with new ways to become a better team. And I'm really confident that with our new head coach and John and new GM and Rob Blake that we're going to turn things around.
Johnny's just going to give you that green light. He's going to say you go every single time.
It's funny because when me and John were young, one of his first years, he kind of came in. I was still young, and you know how a coach kind of has to get his imprint on the team, and so he just lost it on me all the time, like getting mad at me, and you know, we were butting heads and stuff like that. And then finally, we had like just a one-on-one chat, and we were just very honest with each other. And ever since then, you know, we've been great. So.
Well, he was a very defensive-minded defenseman.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
if he can teach you what he knows.
Did you play with him?
I did in Philly. Yeah.
Early slow boots, on.
Very okay. I'm as Andy knows well, I'm the optimist.
Yeah.
Really good mind.
Yeah.
Really thought the game well, and you had to skate that slow.
Yeah.
Wait till he hears this interview.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Drew Doughty, LA Kings defenseman who's part of the Lays National Smile Power Day. So as a top defenseman, you go up against the other team's top players. Can you give us a scouting report on Austin Matthews?
You know, I'd only played him twice last year, but yeah, I can give you a little brief one. I think he's got some of the best hands around the net. You don't want him to get the puck below the tops of the circles because he's going to make something happen. And he's got little good hands in inside tight, like he can, and he uses his body well. So I'm just coming up with more and more things that he does well right now. But yeah, he's definitely beyond his years. He didn't look like a rookie last year, not because he scored 30 goals. He didn't look like a rookie shift in, shift out. He looked really good. So yeah, big body, great hands, great shot. You can't let him get to the net. That's the bottom line.
The interesting thing for me in watching him is he scores his goals from in tight, but he's not involved in tight.
Yeah.
It's weird right? He has a way of getting in and out of traffic without engaging you physically.
Yeah.
You'd love to engage him, but he's not quite there.
Yeah.
But then where
I'll
he scores is, you have to find him. I mean, you have to find him.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. But he has a way of staying. He scores a lot of his goals from the other side of the ice from what you're on, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
From his right side of the ice.
That's exactly what I was picturing when I was talking about him there, is those goals from the right side of the ice. Yeah, he seems to get lost, and that's what the best goal scorers do, right? I don't know how they do it because I don't trying to figure it out still, but they do it.
Well, and it's interesting because a big part of the league now is Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, the group in Calgary, all these young guys. And you're a guy who busted out into the scene super young. You're a big part of that 2010 team where you're just still figuring things out. Are you, as much as you're able to do it, are you amazed with just how much younger the league has gotten in a very quick time?
I don't know if I'm necessarily amazed. I'm not very surprised, to be honest. You know, when I was a kid, we were still playing, you know, two, three sports every summer where I was going to play soccer. I wasn't playing hockey all year round. You know, I didn't get in the gym until I was drafted to the OHL, so I was 15 years old. I'd never been in the gym before. These kids are going in the gym. I see kids in my gym already now. They're 10 years old. You know, they're only playing hockey. They're not playing any other sports. They have a skill. They come to the gym. They go to a skills coach. They go to a skating coach. Like, they have all these things. So I'm not at all surprised because, you know, they have done so much more on development with these younger kids. And so I'm not surprised. But I'm happy for them, too, because they're making our game better, I think, faster. More energy, a lot more skill. I like it.
Well, speaking of youth, I just want to go on Monday. You had a very special occasion. You had your number 8 retired by the London Junior Knights. What was that like?
That was cool. Yeah, that was the team I grew up playing for from when I was like 7 till I was 15. You know, it might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but to me and to London, it was a big deal. And I was really happy to be able to spend with my friends and my family and some ex-teammates who... You know, and that's what I told those kids. You know, I have literally some of my best friends are from when I was 7 years old on that AAA hockey team, and they're still my best friends today. And, you know, I told those kids the most fun I had playing hockey was their age, you know, in the hotels playing mini sticks in between games. And, you know, the NHL is obviously fun and it's great and all that, but the most fun I seriously had was being that kid playing.
So look at you step. Now. You're getting numbers retired. You're going into your 10th year in the NHL, by the way, right?
I know. I'm old balls now, right? Yeah.
Trust
you.
You're
the young kid.
But it makes us feel old, too.
The next step would be the Guelph Storm retiring your number. What would it mean for you to have your name and number up?
Beside O-Dog?
O-Dog.
I knew that was coming up. Yeah, it would mean a lot, actually. I was actually looking for him around here. I
he doesn't get in this early.
I know. He's probably
well, his show's at 4. He'll show up at 3:50.
Plus, you're in the defensive zone right now. He's not going back there to say hi.
That's so true. But yeah, that'd be amazing if I ever did get to get my number retired up there beside him. But obviously, I don't expect anything or whatever. But I had a great time in Guelph. You know, really still close with my billets and love that city. So. Whatever happens, happens.
Before we let you go, because you did bring some Lay's bags of chips here, what's your favorite flavor?
It's either salt and vinegar or just the original.
Salt and vinegar.
I love
so
salt and vinegar, but I can't eat them like back-to-back days. Like, I need to throw an original.
What discipline?
I'm not eating chips back-to-back days. Yeah.
No, well, like, the roof of your mouth will peel off. I mean, I love salt and vinegar, but the roof of your mouth...
You're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sodium.
You got to be careful. But salt and vinegar barbecue. I had this strange... As I'm looking, because right in front of you, you have a bag of ketchup.
Right.
I had this weird thing as a kid. If I ate ketchup chips, I had to have a glass of milk. The thought of it...
That's a terrible combination.
That's disgusting, isn't it? I don't even know why.
Yeah.
I can't. Okay, well, what's your favorite flavor, Mark?
all dressed. But you can't even get all dressed in the States, right?
I don't think
you can. Yeah.
All dressed.
It's a very Canadian answer.
Well, because it's kind of gross.
All dressed?
All dressed is pretty good.
No.
But...
You're not living, Andy.
Still, salt and vinegar is the best.
Yeah.
Salt and vinegar is the best for me. So, and I was a defensive forward, so I'm salt and vinegar and plain. So I'm on the same target line as the defenseman is here. Win the faceoff and help him out in his season.
Well, there you go. Drew, it was a pleasure having you in studio. Thanks for taking the time, and we look forward to seeing you next year.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Good luck with Smile Zone.
Yeah. Right,
thank you.
And I love that you did not put the teeth in, because that is the truth.
I don't wear them. I don't know where they are. I promise you. They're gone.
You're like Brent Burns. You just don't even know.
I wish I could explain how like hard it is to talk with this thing in. Like,
really?
I
hear it can
so
be painful.
Difficult.
You might be talking to someone that knows over here, and I actually went to a new dentist recently.
Did you?
And I asked him if he had a drive-through. I asked him if he had a drive-through, so I just dropped them off and swing back and pick them up, and he's like, you are an old hockey player.
So do you have
player.
A flipper, or do you have them
I'm permanent
posted
now.
In? Okay, so but I'm going to wait to do that, because there's...
Probably a good call.
Yeah, I'll get them. I don't wear a mouth guard. They'll probably fall out again, so...
That's all right. It's the life of hockey.
People actually ask me. I played for 13 years, and people will actually say, do you have all your own teeth? And you look at them like, was that Is that a real question?
Like? It's a common question. I get asked that, and I'm still, well, I don't have them, so no.
So you're like, no, at some point you will say, no, they are not all my real teeth. Yeah. All right, so Drew Doughty, part of the Lay's Smiles, the National Smile Power Day, which is today, by the way, putting a smile on everyone's face. Drew, thanks again for taking the time. We got more coming up on Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca. Fun, by the way, was Drew Doughty.
He's great. He's terrific. It's the first time I've met him. And
yeah.
So, on a day that it's Lay's Smile Day, when Dave said the term green light, I've never seen a man smile more than Drew Doughty. Green light? Yes.
Let him go.
Yeah.
Let him go. You got a talent like that? Holy smokes.
No kidding.
A lot of guys can play defense. Kidding. A lot of guys can't do what he can do.
Gotta love a guest that leaves food, too. I'll just say that.
No, and it is taking all of my willpower to not dig into those chips.
Oh, no, that bag is getting opened.
Oh, my word. For sure. I am just trying not to right now. But he brought up some interesting points. Yes, I know we're going to hang on the one where, you know, secretly every Southern Ontario kid wants to play for the Leafs, and how even though his dad cheered for the Habs, he just watched so many Leafs games. But, you know, the honesty there, and he doesn't know how he could handle maybe the attention. It's true. I mean, we know Drew Doughty. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows Drew Doughty. You know, the second you see him on the street, you would know who he is. And I still found that interesting that he said, you know, in LA, he can walk down the street and not be recognized. And a lot of people thrive in that kind of environment. And another thing he brought up, which we'll get to a little later on in the show, was how he played multiple sports as a kid. We've brought this up before. Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to think he hasn't done too shabby for himself as an elite athlete.
I was going
to
say, speaking of someone who's played multi-sports,
our next guest has played multiple sports.
Yeah, that would be Mr. Dale Tallon, taking the time here on Leafs Lunch, Florida Panthers GM and president of hockey operations. How you doing, Dale?
I'm multitasking right now, watching the U.S. Open and talking to you guys.
Have you played at Erin Hills, Dale?
I'm trying to make trades.
Have you played at Erin? What'd you think?
Yeah, I had sore feet. It's a long walk.
Yeah?
It's a great golf course. It really is. It's phenomenal.
Did you ever have to hit out of that fescue?
Not often, but it's thicker than normal. It's we have, of course, I play in Chicago, has the same look to it, so it's hard because it's that soil, it's clay-based instead of sand-based, so that makes it more difficult. It's a lot thicker than, say, at Shinnecock. Hmm. Or it's more wispy and you can play shots out of it. But there, you go in there, it's probably a lost ball or a double bogey like Dustin Johnson just did.
Dale, you just spoke a completely different language to me right now when you went into your golf talk. I have no
Dave,
clue.
Dave and I love it, though.
We've got it on here in the studio, Dale, trust me.
Yeah.
We're multitasking as well.
Yes, but I did catch that you're multitasking on trying to make some trades. I know you guys were told by Bill Daly that this is, I mean, you need to be silent. It's got to stay in the vault till June 21st, but just out of curiosity, how busy have you been? Are you able to divulge whether or not you've been receiving calls or making calls?
Well, I guess it's 50-50. You know, we've been trying to see what, get a feel, but everyone's a little nervous, a little reluctant. They don't want to lose two players if you make a deal. You know, they're not quite sure. So everybody's in the same boat. We're all, you know, communicating, talking, and trying to get things done, but I think we'll see on the 22nd, Thursday, Friday, the draft. I think this might be the busiest trading draft we've had in a long time. So I think everyone's kind of spreading the seed and the fertilizer and now just waiting for the water to kick in.
I love that analogy. Bob Bugner, we know, new head coach. What was the decision, I guess, behind hiring him, and how important was it to have him before the draft?
Well, we wanted to take our time, and we interviewed a lot of coaches. What I liked about Bob was first his preparation when he came to meet with us. It was just really off the charts what he had prepared and what he brought with him. Of all the coaches we've interviewed, he was the one that was the most organized and had the most preparation. And then his passion and his knowledge of our team and his great success with Burns and in San Jose and with the Memorial Cup and owning it. And the fact that he feels ready to take on the task, all those things came into play. We had a lot of strong candidates. We felt at the end that he was the best guy for the job, considering what we have and the type of players we have and the knowledge he has and the relationship he has some of our players already. So it was just, it seemed like the perfect fit for us.
Dale, would you describe him as a little bit of a throwback and in a cross between new age and old age as a hockey guy?
Yeah, I think he is, David. I mean, he's a contemporary guy. He's learned a lot, but he can be, he's got a lot of passion and emotion, and he does have that part of it, but I think he's very well schooled in the nuances and the new way the game's played. And so that was impressive for us, was that he was not just one-dimensional, old school. It was he was a combination of probably the new world and the old school. So we're excited about working with him, and he's a lot of fun as well. And he'll bring our locker room a lot of passion and levity, and our young players are really going to thrive with him, I think.
You know, it's interesting because analytics has gotten such a negative context in some, and I would be clear with people. I'd say, we always use analytics. We just call them numbers. And it doesn't have to be one way or the other all the way, and there's a mix of it. And he seems to be right with that line in the mix.
Yeah, it's a necessary part of it. It's not the end all, but we all use it in different capacities, but it can't be the entire process. It has to be, you know, it's a game. If you saw a game, obviously game six of the finals was the emotion, character, and commitment. Those things are, you know, you throw analytics out the window when it comes down to game six like that. It's the passion and desire and who wants the puck more than the other guy and who's having the most fun, and all those things come into play. But, you know, hockey's such a dynamic sport. It's not a static sport such as baseball or even football, where you can pre-plan and prepare and put guys in position based on what might happen. But in hockey, there's so much going on at a high pace and high energy that sometimes it's very difficult. You get too paralyzed by numbers, you know, instead of just reacting.
You know, the Florida Panthers are so fascinating, maybe to us and not to you because of what happened this past year. But, you know, you're on the right path a year ago, and then this past year happens. And outside of staying healthy, what do you need to see from your team to get back to that team that's on the verge of being a part of the elite two or three teams in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I think we have to get the consistency back all the way through the organization, which I think we've done. And I think we have to have a trust factor and a belief in each other. And once we get that and get the right process as far as coaching and developing, all those things that we got a little sidetracked. I mean, all the things that we tried to do were all out of the intention was very honorable and very good. We tried to get better quickly and get to the top as quickly as we could, but we lost our way. We made some mistakes, and so now we have to correct it and refocus and re-energize and get back to where we were, the track that we were on before. And I'm confident we can do that. And I think we have the tools to get back on track in a hurry.
Speaking with Dale Tallon, Florida Panthers GM and president of hockey operations, have you been in contact with a lot of players since the hiring of the coach? And speaking of trying to get back on track, like, what is the general feeling now heading into next season?
Well, first of all, disappointment at the end of the season. My exit meetings were full of regret, and that's one thing I preach. You know, we don't have any regrets. We want to move forward. We want to use this as a motivating factor to never have this happen again. And so we have constant communication with our players. I talked to a few of them yesterday, and I've gotten a few text messages since we hired Boogie. And the guys are really optimistic and excited about, you know, turning the page and getting back to work. And they're really invigorated by the hiring of Bugner, and I think we'll see a really fun team to watch.
All right, we look forward to it. So we'll let you get back to watching your U.S. Open and making your hockey deals. Thanks so much for taking the time, Dale.
My pleasure.
Take care, Dale.
That's Dale Tallon, Florida Panthers GM and president of hockey operations. And it's true. I mean, there's no hiding what happened last year with the Florida Panthers, with the team being visibly and vocally upset about the firing of Gerard Gallant and how that was all handled and all the photos that came out and whether it was miscommunication of he was, you know, left at a curb and had to take a cab or not. It doesn't matter. PR-wise, optic-wise.
Optics were horrible.
It just didn't look good. And then Rowe coming on in, And that just, and then what happened?
Tom Rowe.
Tom Rowe. Not, okay. Yeah. Tom Rowe coming on
don't,
in.
Don't attach
different
me.
From, different from Mark.
Yeah, different from Mark. It would have been a complete disaster last year for the Florida Panthers. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
You know, it's a cautionary tale, too, though, Andy, in a team taking an enormous step forward the year before and having a great year. And when that happens with a young group, they think it's just going to continue to happen. They don't have to elevate again to get back to where they were.
But I felt there was too much tinkering.
Well, there was. There was clearly. I mean, they changed three of the defensemen, the key defensemen at least. And so there was a lot of adjusting going on. But even the players that did come back, the responsibility is also with them to say that it's not just going to happen. We're not just going to be better because we come back and put our uniforms on again. And I always think when a team takes that big early step, the hardest one is the second year. And they had a really tough second year. But now, talk about having the players focus. You have a new coach. You have
Dale Tallon back as your GM.
Dale Tallon back as your GM, yeah. And you're ready to go. I mean, and so it is, but I'll guarantee you that every one of those individual players has had a better summer off ice this summer than they did last summer.
So you're saying as well that some of the players maybe have just took for granted
Absolutely.
The fact that they played well.
And when you're young, you think the extra year is going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit easier to go to a nice golf course instead of go to the gym in the morning. Mm-hmm. All those things are just a little bit easier because of the success you've had. And not realizing that every year gets more challenging. It doesn't get easier because you've been there. It gets more challenging.
Cautionary tales for a few other teams as well.
No question.
Noon hour coming up here on Leafs Lunch. We're going to have our TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger join us. We're also going to do power rankings, the Leafs trade bait edition. Pooley will take us through his list, all coming up next.